And we're joined from the northern part of our state by two people who are very passionate about Louisiana and, of course, are from a conservative slant as far as their viewpoints when it comes to social issues. And one of those is a Democrat, John Charles Milkovich, the state senator who we'll be hearing from. But Sandy McDade is a voice we have not heard in a while. For 40 years, she has been head of the Eagle Forum in Louisiana. She goes back to the start with Phyllis Schlafly right after Roe v. Wade was approved as the law of the land by the Supreme Court in 1973. And good morning to you, Sandy McDade.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Well, you've had a long battle, and I recall back in 1990 you said that Buddy Romer let you down, that he promised to sign a bill and then vetoed two anti-abortion bills. He was a Republican, and now you have a Democrat who signed one of the most stringent anti-abortion pieces of legislation in the country. How do you square what's happened in the last generation?
Well, of course, if you remember, we told Buddy Romer that we would defeat him over that bill, and we did. He only had one term. I'm excited. I think that we have, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was rocking a little three-day-old baby, foster child, the day Roe versus Wade came down. And I knew at that point that we now had a war on children. And you're right. It has been a long, long battle. We have heroes. I think Senator Milkovich is a hero to me today. And I think this is the right time to address it, and I think he addressed it with the right bill.
Will you support Governor Edwards?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that, I think he's done a lot of things that are not good for Louisiana. I applaud him, however, and I'm the kind of person that if you do something good, I applaud you. If you do something bad, I'll express my viewpoints. Today, I think he's done a good thing, and I applaud him for that.
All right. Hold tight. Sandy McDade is with us, along with Senator John Charles Milkovich, born in Montana, but he has spent much of his life in Louisiana. Also, I believe, an alum of the University of Chicago, the alma mater of one Bernie Sanders, but went to LSU Law School. He's been in Louisiana since. And is perhaps the most conservative member of the legislature and is a Democrat seeking re-election this fall. And John Milkovich, you've got people like Sandy McDade patting you on the back and others saying, have you lost your mind? What do you think?
Well, by the way, just so people don't think I'm smarter than I really am, I'm not. I only went to University of Chicago for 1 year, an alumni of University of Montana. Well, listen, it's just a great honor, an undeserved honor, Jim, to be on the phone with you, number one. You're just such an outstanding leader in Louisiana journalism. I tell you that all the time privately. And then also to be talking to you on the same day as General Honoré and Sandy McDade. Those are two warriors. And, you know, what the most obvious thing is, you know, a legislator puts his name and tries to fight the fight to get a bill passed, and if it passes and it's good, sometimes the politicians want to take all the credit. That's so inaccurate, and of course you know that. The fetal heartbeat bill, which makes it illegal to kill an unborn baby if you can medically detect a heartbeat, that was the result of the work of many, many people. Sandy McDade is one of them, in the trenches for 40 years, fighting against the killing of the unborn. So it's a great teamwork. I think it's a great day for the hundreds of thousands or millions of Louisianans that are pro-life, and for the pastors and Valerie Hodges and the House Representative. And yeah, it's just a huge team, and I was a small part of it, but very, very glad to see this day come, and we still got work to do.
All right,
it's very exciting.
I know you're happy the governor signed the bill. Will you be supporting the governor?
Well, I have been very publicly and privately supportive of the governor, and basically, you know, and I understand that I think Congressman Abraham's a good man, and I think it sounds like Mr. Rasponi's a smart guy. But what I tell people about Governor John Bel Edwards publicly and privately, which is true, is that he has signed every pro-life bill that has hit his desk, and also that he really is a family man. Being in Baton Rouge the last 3.5 years, I really didn't know the governor very well before I got elected, but being in Baton Rouge, I realized that this thing about him being a family, it's real. He is a family man. He's committed to his wife. He is a dad. And I understand that there's issues that, you know, not everybody thinks like me on the size of government and taxation. And I've been, I think, tried to be a very outspoken advocate for constitutional rights, liberties, and freedoms. And I understand not everybody thinks exactly like me on all those issues, but I think it's important to, like Sandy said, to acknowledge when a public official or anyone does good things. I think it's important to recognize them.
All right. Mary Ziegler, a law professor at Florida State who has been with us in previous years, says in the New York Times today, "We live in a world in which a woman in Alabama could easily buy abortion pills on the Internet and end her pregnancy without ever seeing a doctor. In such a case, the only person whom states could easily prosecute and punish would be the woman having an abortion. The temptation to do so may prove to be too great. Just look at the debate about rape and incest. For abortion foes, there may be two victims of abortion, but some are more innocent than others." So are you in favor of punishing the woman who has an abortion?
You know, I do believe that women should be required to respect the unborn. I think we all should. And I know very well, as do you, that the babies that are born as a result of rape or incest, that's a small fraction of the babies born. And we also know that I believe that the abortion industry has very craftily reframed the debate so that we spend 99.99% of the time in the abortion debate talking about what happens in less than 1% of the cases. And what we said in the state capitol is if a woman is traumatized, that's a horrible tragedy. And what is the correct response? We think it's for her family, the church, the community to come around her with support. We believe, too, that it's to hold people that harm others accountable, whether they're perpetrating their abuses on men or women, adults or children. We need our criminal law needs to hold people accountable for what they do. And then number three, I think the most important thing we said was, but should... if in that very small percentage of cases the woman has been victimized, is it just to execute the unborn child who's innocent of any wrongdoing? And then finally, you know, we think, and this is so commonsensical, but you know, I'm just kind of a simple-minded person in some ways, try to get to the simple part of it, and that is, you know, adoption over abortion, and that gets lost in the debate. So,
all right, we do want to get Sandy to chime in on this as well before we go to the break. But Sandy McDade, should the woman who has an abortion be punished if she decides to take this course of action?
Well, I guess our understanding of punishment are two different things. You know, I come from a time pre-Roe versus Wade, and if a woman was raped, you manage the pregnancy, if she became pregnant, you manage the pregnancy with an attempt to save both the woman and the child. And if in doing that, the child loses its life, that was the attitude of the medical profession. People talk as though, well, we're just going to let that woman die. And then in terms of rape, I'm sorry, but I adopted four children and had children in my home as foster children who were the product of rape. And guess what? They had two hands, two feet. They weren't pigs or cows. They were humans. They were people. And the person in that case who should be punished is the rapist, not the baby. And I think you punish the woman. I think you rape the woman twice if you allow her to be raped and then give her an abortion. The emotional, we're missing the emotional trauma of an abortion is much more serious than the abortion industry.
All right, we're going to spend a bit more time with John Milkovich, the sponsor of this bill, the so-called Fetal Heartbeat Bill, signed by his fellow Democrat, Governor John Bel Edwards, and Sandy McDade, who 40 years ago started the Eagle Forum in Louisiana, an organization she continues to be president of. And we have had people on both sides of this issue, and we'll continue to do so. But we ask you to be courteous to our guests as we move along, and we will go to the phone lines. Your number is 877-217-5757. We're back after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana segment remaining. And if you're so inclined, please give us a call or send us an email. 877-217-5757 is your number. Our email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Our guests are Sandy McDade, based in Shreveport for 40 years. She has fought this abortion battle, and she and others of the Eagle Forum and other anti-abortion forces are declaring victory after Senator John Charles Milkovich, attorney from Shreveport, Democrat in the Louisiana Senate, successfully pushed through a bill that basically bans abortion at 6 weeks or less, the so-called fetal heartbeat bill that other states have passed, including Mississippi, and now it's up to the courts to decide. And as mentioned, as we move along, please be courteous to our guests. And Sandy McDade calls Senator Milkovich an American hero. And whether you like him or not, he was born on the 50th birthday of one John Duke Wayne. Let's go to Jay on Corsi. Jay, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Inkster, for taking my call. I am well past the age of childbearing years, but I will give my opinion if this were to apply to me and I could conceive children. I find it strange that someone would want to be forced to carry to term a child when they had been raped or from incest of a relative. I think that it's totally absurd to demand someone to do something against their will concerning their own bodies.
All right, Sandy, would you respond, Sandy McDade, to Jay on Corsi in Baton Rouge?
Well, I agree with the woman. Your worst nightmare for most women is to be raped, and it's a horrible thing. But I still have to say that if a child results from that rape, you don't punish the child, you punish the rapist. And I think there's a real need, and I'm sure that Jay Wessett would agree with me, there's a real need for education for young people. I would like to see a bill that that allowed us to put flyers, information in every doctor's office. Number one, how to protect yourself from being in a position where you might be raped.
Wait a minute. How could you protect yourself from a rapist?
Let me give you just an idea. I used to fly for Delta Airlines, and I had to walk across a very dark, long parking lot late at night. And ultimately, because the flight attendants asked for this, they began putting us on a bus. I was putting myself in a dangerous position.
All right. Gail in River Bend. Gail, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Sandy McDade and Senator Milkovich.
Good morning. Jim, I wanted to make a point. I think everyone wants babies to be loved and welcomed into the world. But there is another side that we have to be concerned about, and that is before Roe v. Wade, I remember 1 year, 70,000 young women between 15 and 19 died on illegal abortionist tables. And so my concern is for both baby and young women who are bearing children. And we don't talk about that particular issue. Women died, so there were two lives lost.
All right. Thank you, Gail. Senator Milkovich, would you respond to Gail?
Sure, and I do appreciate the sincerity of her concern. I think we need to get back to this, though. It's been said that it's an absurdity for the woman to go forward and come to full term. I think it's an absurdity, a moral tragedy to kill an innocent child. I think Sandy brings up a good point. It is actually a double trauma when a woman is assaulted and they're forced to, or they have an abortion. That is an emotional trauma which stays with many women for the rest of their lives. And finally, I'll say this. You know, we study history. We see at one point where the English enacted a cruel repression and persecution of Catholics. We saw in Spain, where in the Inquisition, that they cruelly suppressed and executed Protestants. We see in World War II, where Hitler inflicted genocide upon Jews and other people groups. You know, and what the pattern that we see is we see first you denigrate the victim, then you demonize the victim, and then you destroy the victim. We have seen unborn babies as less than human. That's not the legal perspective. That's not the scientific reality of human exists upon the moment of conception. And, of course, I don't know that we have time to get into that. And scripturally, the unborn baby is a person in the eyes of God. Scripture is very clear. So if we look at science, law, and particularly traditional Louisiana law and the Bible, unborn babies are human.
Rebel and Sherwood, you're on with Senator Milkovich and Sandy McDade. Hi, Rebel.
Hi. Jim, I want to thank you for taking my call, and want to thank you for really just exposing the lunacy of some of the people that we have leading this state. It's shocking to me. My question is very similar to the other ladies that just called in, and about the numbers, the thousands of women that died due to botched abortions before Roe versus Wade, and also the thousands that went unreported, the way that it's going to happen now, when women are trying to get abortions that they can't afford, or they don't have the wherewithal to move to another state or get those things, you know, the way that rich women do.
All right. Sandy, does Rebel have a point in that abortion in the United States didn't start on January 22nd, 1973? It's been around for a long time. It was just legalized by the high court in that year. And an illegal abortion is infinitely more dangerous than a legal one. What do you say to people who have that point of view?
Well, I think we have to go back once again to the fact that when you call the Bureau of Vital Statistics, for instance, and ask them how many abortions are done in a particular year, pick your year, because of rape or incest, they don't even have to look it up. They will tell you zero. I've done that several times because I kept getting that same argument. You know, we have a rape and incest exception in this bill. But here's one of the problems. If the rape and incest exception, I still am not for the abortion, but if the exception required the woman to report the rape, that would be one thing. But what we've got is an exception here that you could drive a truck through. If a woman's of a mind to kill her unborn child, being dishonest about the conception of that child will not bother her conscience. I understand this gentleman has heard a lot of the media, et cetera, but you have to go back. Is having a child a blessing or a punishment?
All right. Maxine on Menlo says, I once worked in the central office of Louisiana's charity hospitals for many years. I used to get phone calls from panicked medical residents asking for permission, which I could not give, to provide pregnant 8- and 10-year-olds with abortions. Most of the poorest moms, she writes, live in a world of panic about money, have not got the means to get stable housing for themselves, and become even more panicked with babies to care for. What would you tell that pregnant 8- or 10-year-old girl? Senator, would you respond to Maxine on Menlo?
Are you asking me to, or for Sandy?
You.
Listen, if the statistic he cited was thousands of deaths, I don't know that personally. If there is one, it's a tragedy. But let's go ahead and go full circle with this. 60 million babies have been killed in the abortion mills of America. So that is the full scope, and really it's not, even those numbers don't really express the full scope of and the full magnitude of this infanticide. 60 million people. So if we're going to go numerical, we realize that in America we've killed as many unborn babies as perhaps Stalin killed during the communist repression when Lenin and Stalin and the communists took over Russia, or Mao Zedong. That was a genocide on a massive scale, the people that were murdered when the communists took over the Republic of China.
All right, we're going to take one more call. This is Dylan at LSU. Dylan, please be brief. Oh, I think we lost Dylan. So thank you for trying, and thank you, Senator Milkovich. Sandy McDade, we do have a few seconds. You get the last word. Obviously, you're quite pleased with this development. Do you really think the High Court, if it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, will embrace this so-called fetal heartbeat bill?
Well, I think we are now at a point in time when we have the best opportunity. The Roe versus Wade, in that decision, I don't think I have the exact wording, but they basically said that if we can prove at such a time through science that life begins at earlier, then the bill, then this ruling should be revisited. But a lot of people are not aware of Doe versus Bolton, which came behind Roe versus Wade, which gave us abortion up to the minute the child was born. But I do think this is our best opportunity. A heartbeat's a heartbeat. That's pure science.
We thank you for joining us, Sandy McDade and Senator John Charles Milkovich. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.